Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get started with the weekly wrap-up, obviously some very sad news. I'm sure if you're a wrestling fan, you've heard that Kevin Nash's young son, Christian, in his 20s, has passed away. A horrible, horrible situation. And obviously our thoughts and prayers are with their family and friends. Just a horrible incident. A parent should never have to bury a child. We know that. And that's a devastating, devastating loss for the Nash family. So our thoughts and prayers with them. Now, AEW, folks, has finally fired someone over the incident that happened after the scrum, the media scrum, in which CM Punk and the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, reportedly got into a brawl. And that person is Ace Steele. Now, that really shouldn't come as any surprise because Kenny Omega literally had bite marks on his arm from Ace Steele, who claims he was trying to protect his wife and his dog, who were in the locker room at the time. But word is that Kenny Omega was trying to take the dog out so the dog wouldn't get caught in the crossfire of the fight. Lord knows what really happened. But apparently Ace Steele is the one that they're coming down on first. Now, the funny thing is, all of the wrestling journalists and all of the social media wrestling sites are today reporting that AEW is in talks with CM Punk to buy out his contract. You're listening to the show. Who told you this 2 weeks ago? I don't know why this is news. Or it's just breaking news now. 2 weeks ago, we said on this show, they're talking to CM Punk about buying his contract out. CM Punk does not want to return to this locker room, and no one wants him to return to the locker room. Maybe some fans do. And now that Ace Steele is gone, who was a CM Punk advocate, CM Punk definitely doesn't. Definitely doesn't want to return. And I'm sure there would be problems with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. Somebody's got to go. One of these two sides got to go. And Ace Steele being fired clearly indicates that they feel that the side that needs to go is that side. Now, a lot of people are speculating, does this mean maybe we're going to see the Young Bucks released or Kenny Omega released? Very doubtful. Very, very doubtful. Now, I know some people will say, well, that's hardly fair. I mean, by all intent and purposes, they escalated the situation by knocking on the door and demanding to talk to CM Punk. I have a different take on that. I really do, and I'll tell you why. If I talk trash about someone and say, and if you don't like it, show up at my door, and we'll talk about it. And you show up at my door, are you escalating the situation or are you doing exactly what I told you to do? Now, if the Young Bucks or Kenny Omega had thrown the first punch, that would have been way different. But from what I'm understanding and apparently what everyone else has said, it was CM Punk who threw the first punch. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you this right now. You know I've never been a CM Punk fan. If you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know I think he's a highly, highly overrated person. I think he's locker room poison. I don't think he loves the business. I think he's out for himself. I think he's a charlatan. I know he's got a ton of fans. But this AEW contract smelled of, how do I get out of it the second I get in it? It totally smelled of, let me get my name in lights one more time. Let me go out there and do a little glory hogging. And then when I reach the apex where I win the title and obviously I look like I'm the best, I just want to get out. That way nobody has to beat me. I don't have to sell anybody else. I don't have to worry. I don't have to help people along in their career by laying down for them. I'll just go out on top. And CM Punk's going to go out on top. He's going to go out saying, oh, I never lost the championship. And that's what he wanted. I told everyone for years and years on this show, if you can't see through CM Punk and clearly see that he's out for himself and he's not much for the business and he's not going to be a guy who's going to give back a ton of stuff, I don't want to tell you because it's really obvious. And here we had a guy who signed a reasonably long-term contract and then says, I'm hurt, I'm injured, I'm hurt, I'm injured, I can't work. When I do want to work, I'm going to mouth off. And that's not good enough, so I'll do something to get fired. I don't respect that. I'm sorry. If you think in your wildest dreams that CM Punk did not know the end of his AEW career was coming if he threw the first punch, you're wrong. Why do you think he threw the first punch? You think he threw the first punch because he so hates the Young Bucks that he really wants to just punch one in the face? Or do you think he said, boy, here's my golden opportunity. I'll take a swing at this idiot. I don't like him anyway, and that's going to guarantee they got to buy my contract out. That's going to guarantee I get to walk away from this and I don't have to do this anymore and I'll still get paid a ton of money. That's my opinion. You're welcome to try to change my mind if you want. But if you're telling me that CM Punk is such a wonderful intelligent man, you're going to tell me that what he said at the press conference, he didn't think that was going to lead to possibly suspension or being fired? You're going to tell me that inviting them to the dressing room and then throwing the first punch wasn't baiting them into a fight so he could get fired? Come on, folks. The man said, look, I've done what I wanted to here. I got the belt. Everybody's going to remember me as a champion. Now, how do I get out of this without losing it? Oh, I know. I'll just cause a big riot here. Tell them I want out of my contract, throw a big fit, and I'll get a fat part of my contract anyway, and I won't have to do anything. And forever I can go around saying, well, I didn't lose that belt. When I went out on top. Ask any good wrestler when you're going to go out. Do you go out on top or do you go out putting somebody else over? Ask any good wrestler that question. See what their answer is. CM Punk didn't do that, Mike. And in my belief, he never had any intention of doing it.
No, he never had any intention of doing it. And we all but said that, right? This show all but said that he had no intention of doing it. He was in there to hold the title, and that's it. And once he did that, we saw what happened, right? Now, here's the deal. This morning, I'm tooling around, you know, YouTube, and I'm looking at some of these wrestling commentators, and one of them, title for the video is, could WWE re-sign CM Punk? I looked at that, I laughed out loud because they, if he's in charge, if Triple H is truly in charge, and Stephanie is in charge of, with the help of her dad, is in charge of the business, there is no way he goes back to the WWE. Triple H won't allow it.
No. And listen, I'm going to be quite frank, and maybe a lot of CM Punk fans will be mad at me. I hope not. I mean, because, again, if you're a CM Punk fan, you have a right to be a CM Punk fan. Good for you. I'm glad you enjoy his work. But I also have a right not to like him. And I'm going to tell you right now, not only do I not like him, but I think he showed it up at AEW looking 20 years older than he really is, looking weak and frail, And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think you put any effort into anything. I think you did the bare minimum you possibly could. Bare minimum you possibly could. And if he's the poster boy for straight edge, well, I'm straight edge, okay? I don't drink. I don't smoke. And I'm younger than CM Punk, I guess, but at the same token, I don't look like that. The hell happened? I remember when MJF said, geez, you look like a crackhead. He was right. CM Punk don't look good for a guy that's supposedly straight edge, and I believe him in that. That's the one thing I think CM Punk said that I always thought he was honest about. I believe that. But boy, I'll tell you what, time was not kind to him. And he didn't do anything to help it along. It's not like he worked out and kept himself a little buff or whatever. He just showed up the way he was. He showed up like he walked off the street from a hockey game and said, all right, I'm here. What do you want me to do? So we'll see what ends up happening, folks. But I think you've seen probably the last of CM Punk in any major wrestling federation, I would assume. Anyway, let's get on to NXT because Triple H has, in fact, started to do what we begged and pleaded and basically got on our hands and knees for. And that was, if you're not using a guy in the WWE or a lady, how about you send him to NXT? How about you let him have a couple of NXT shows or a month run or a two-month run? You can always bring him back. It's not like you're casting them out into the pits of hell and never to be seen again. You can bring anybody back anytime you want. So I don't know why you had people sitting on ice for so many years. Vince McMahon did it. Oh, they're doing nothing. Well, why aren't you in NXT then? You got a name. You got drawing power. Well, they're finally doing it. Finally doing it. You had Rhea Ripley over there. Shinsuke Nakamura was a good, strong show. Geez, lo and behold, who'd ever thought? Who'd have thunk it, as they say? Who'd have thunk, if you use some names, that wrestling fans that don't normally watch NXT might say, well, let me check that out. That could be interesting. You had Cameron Grimes coming over week ago, talking to the Good Brothers. That helped. Roxy, whatever they're calling her now, she came over, talked, that helped. Everybody that you can possibly put on an NXT show that already has a name is only helping NXT. I don't care if it's Dolph Ziggler. I don't care if it's Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley's being used, but I don't care if it's Sonya Deville. I don't care if it's Los Lotharios, which you probably should do. You probably should do that. Those guys are absolutely being wasted. I've not seen anybody wasted more than Angel Garza since Cesaro. Cesaro had such great in-ring charisma. And yes, you're right, he didn't have much out-ring charisma. I don't know why. But in the ring, he had a real way of connecting with the fans. And he was wasted. Angel Garza has the charisma inside and outside the ring, and he's being wasted. Send him back to NXT with Humberto. Whatever you got to do, Triple H, they're all one big organization. I wouldn't want to see Roman Reigns there. I don't want to see Brock Lesnar there. I don't want to see Bray Wyatt there. Your big, big, big names should be exclusive. Your brand. But my God, you've got the whole world at your hands, no pun intended, with the rest of these people, and I don't see why you don't interchange them once in a while, Todd. It seems like it worked very well this week.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they brought back to NXT Nakamura a couple weeks ago, Sonya Deville, and this past week, Rhea Ripley. And now you got Sonya Deville on NXT for a while. I'd like to see them get back with Mandy Rose as Fire and Desire. I thought that was a great combination right there for a tag team.
Yeah, that could work. Now, Derek in the chat room was asking, did NXT beat AEW in the ratings? No, they did not. But there's a couple of factors to take into consideration. The first factor to take into consideration is that NXT ratings did drop. But they still beat, I mean, the AEW ratings did drop, but they still beat NXT. NXT ratings went up. Not enough to beat AEW, but they did go up. So while AEW's ratings declined slightly, NXT ratings did go up, and you were competing against baseball playoffs. So with that in mind, they're inching ever closer. They're inching ever closer. And the ultimate humiliation would be if Triple H can somehow right the ship using some WWE workers to do it and actually have NXT beating on a regular basis AEW. I don't know what to say for Tony Khan. Then Tony Khan's in big trouble. Now, Tony Khan will say, well, yeah, if you're going to bring over your big names from your big company to do it, but you couldn't do it with just the guys you had. Well, that's not fair because you're taking all of the WWE's big names and every show you have is special this and championship that, and I got a new person coming in, and wait till you hear the big surprise. Every show is that. Every show is that. So it's not like you're not pulling out all the stops. So I'll be very interested to see if the ratings stay close. I call this a psychological victory, Mike, for NXT because their ratings did go up while AEW's fell slightly, but the gap is closing rapidly.
Absolutely. And look, I knew Bayley was coming back. I knew she was going to not be in shape. I would have sent her down to NXT, you know, for a couple months there to get her in shape, get her ring ready, to knock off the ring rust,
Yeah, I would have done that too. Could have done it. I guess in all fairness, they wanted it to be a big surprise, and they thought, well, if we put it up in NXT, it won't be as big a surprise. But listen, at this stage of the game, I have to be careful. Because sometimes I speak my mind a little too bluntly and people get really, really mad at me. But let me just say this. Bayley's not being helped by the two people she's supposedly leading. It's not that they're not good in the ring. It's that they have almost no charisma. I'm sorry, but they just don't. And it's almost like an albatross around her neck. Bayley has some charisma, but my God. She can't carry three people, herself and those two. And Io Sky just doesn't have enough grasp of the English language to do what she needs to do and doesn't have the charisma of like Asuka. And Dakota Kai is, I don't know how somebody with her look and her skill doesn't have charisma, but she doesn't. Just doesn't. And damage control is not working for that reason, Todd. They just don't really have that special, I don't know.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, that damage control thing for a while, it's not working for all three of them. like you said with Bayley, she tried to carry the team here with the other two. And, I don't think it's working out.
It's not working out because only one person in that group has any real charisma, and that's Bayley. And you're not even allowing her to use it if you keep her in her current form. So you're really I just think it's a failed experiment. I really do. I would probably finish the storyline, whatever you're going to do, and then get them separated because it's not fair to Bayley. I think it's holding Bayley back. To be perfectly honest, I think it's holding Bayley back. But anyway, yes, this is the right move, Triple H. This is the right move. Send people to NXT on a regular basis. Some of them not just for one night. Why can't you keep Shinsuke Nakamura there for a while? He's very popular there. We get to see him work the way we want to see him work. Let's do it. Keep him down there for a little while. Send Dolph Ziggler down for a while if you've got nothing else more to do with him. That would be great. But see him work down there for a while. There are others. You sent Veer Mahan back down, but I mean that's not gonna rock the boat one way or the other. But you do have people you could send down. Haven't seen Kevin Owens in a while. Send him back down for a little while. He loves NXT. See what he can do until you need him for the big Sami Zayn thing. If that's still happening, I don't know. But these are the right moves. And you can't expect the ratings to flip-flop just one night because somebody's there, because it won't. But if Triple H does this on a regular basis, fans will start to watch. And fans will start to say, oh, that's right, I got to tune into NXT this week. So-and-so is going to be on. It's a proven ratings boost when WWE workers go there. So I don't know why you just don't have some go there on a regular basis. This is something we said on this show, Mike. I don't know how many times we've said this, that rather than to have guys sit at catering and do nothing month after month after month, you may as well utilize them. And now that Triple H is looked, hey, we're right. The ratings are improving.
Right. Send the Lotharios down there. You know, let them go work down there. I mean, Angel Garza was really, really popular down there, you know, and that's the thing. And here's something else to think about Shinsuke. Let him work for a couple of months down there. When eventually you're going to see the OC and the Bloodline get it on, right? Eventually. Well,
right.
OC's got three people. Bloodline has, what, four or five, well, depending on if you count Sami Zayn. Right now you got to count him. So when they do that, the OC is going to need somebody. Bring Shinsuke up and put him with the OC, at least for a short time. You know?
See, there's so many things you can do if you're willing to. For some reason, Vince McMahon was not willing to fluctuate his roster down to NXT, even if they weren't being used. Now, I fully understand you don't want to muddy up storylines. You don't want to say, well, the storyline that we have currently with this worker is he's going against him, but now he's going to go down to NXT and start a different storyline with somebody else. No, you don't want that. But if you got nothing for him right now, how many times did we hear, well, you're not seeing so-and-so on TV because creative has nothing for them? Well, if you don't have anything for them for the foreseeable future for a few months, while you're working on getting something for them, how about you send them down to NXT where they can do you some good? It's amazing. It's like a carpenter going to do a job and saying, well, I'm only going to take three or four tools that I think I'll need. Do they do that? No, they take their whole friggin' toolbox and truck, right? And utilize whatever it is they have in there. Well, WWE's got to do the same thing. And then you'll see the ratings boost, just like we're starting to see. We're starting to see NXT climb into the 700,000s. If they can climb into the 800,000s, which isn't really all that much more, if they can climb into the low 800,000s, they're right there with AEW. And they're doing it with, I don't want to say throwaway names because Shinsuke Nakamura is not a throwaway, but they're doing it with people they don't have anything for. Let's put it that way. They're doing it with people that really wouldn't be featured on their show anyway. So why not? Absolutely, why not? I'd love to see more of it, and I think we will. I think Triple H understands that. And from the sources I have, Triple H is very keen on beating AEW with NXT because he's still stinging mad that he was not able to do it originally. And what I'm hearing is he feels he was not able to do it originally because he was not able to utilize all the tools at his disposal. Now he has all the tools. He has all the tools. There's nothing stopping him literally from saying the Bloodline's going to appear. Nothing. Now, I don't think it's a good idea. But there's nothing stopping them. They wanted to show up for one night. There's nothing stopping them. Apparently, Logan Paul has come out and said, and this is a shock, come out and said, you know, I watch my interviews and I watch my segments and I'm realizing I'm not that good on the mic. I need to work on that. I don't feel 100% comfortable on the mic. This coming from a guy who spends his life on the mic. This coming from a guy who has a podcast show where he's speaking constantly. Okay, not to a live audience, but still, speaking constantly. It's coming from a guy who does all these press conferences where he has to, you know, be his caricature of himself and whatever. And initially I was shocked and said, what's the guy insane? How can you possibly feel uncomfortable on a mic when that's basically all you do? But then I was actually impressed, and I'll tell you why. For a guy like Logan Paul, who in my opinion is better than average on the mic, to say I'm not good enough, that's impressive to me. Because that means he's able to critique himself and say, yeah, this isn't where I want to be. You know how many people would say, that's fine. I'm good enough. I'm better than this guy. I'm better than that guy. I can string more sentences together than this guy. But he didn't do that. Instead, he critiqued himself and said, I could do better than this. Doesn't matter what other people are doing. I could do better than this. This is not my best. And I want to be able to do my best. I'm not a fan of him. But I will tell you this. If he wants to be, he's got a real shot at being the next Miz as far as coming from a place that's not professional wrestling and actually becoming a very, very good professional wrestler, Mike. He has that ability if this is truly what he wants.
Absolutely. And think about this. What was our big hang-up? What's been our big hang-up with a guy like, I don't know, CM Punk? That he doesn't recognize his weaknesses, and he doesn't want to recognize his weaknesses and correct those weaknesses or try to minimize them. Logan Paul has recognized a weakness, and now he's either trying to minimize it or correct it. You got to give him credit for that.
You got to give him a lot of credit for it because, like I said, when you say something like that, you clearly know you're better than some people in that locker room. So you could easily rest on your laurels and say, look, don't come to me and tell me I'm not that great on the mic. I'm better than Finn Balor. I'm better than Brock Lesnar. I'm better than this one. I'm better than that one who can't string two sentences together. So, okay, I'm not Mick Foley. Okay, I'm not Bray Wyatt. Okay, I'm not, you know, some of the top guys. But I'm certainly in the upper middle of the pack, and that's good enough. That would be very easy for a guy like him to do, especially with his name recognition. Instead, he's opted the second to say, yeah, I'm probably better than some of these people, which he didn't say, but I'm saying it. But I'm not as good as I could be, and I want to be as good as I can be. Just being better than some of these people isn't my goal. My goal is to be the best I can be, and I can be better than this. And ironically, I think what opened his eyes up was the exchange with the Brotherhood and Sami Zayn. I think he was taken off guard a little bit by that, even though he knew what most was coming, and he realized, I don't have any great comebacks. I don't have a way to counter that. And he wants to be that guy. He wants to be the Miz and Daniel Bryan, going back and forth. He wants to be in a situation where if we start freestyling a little bit, I can hold my own. I got to commend him for that. I really think Logan Paul, hate to say it, but I think Logan Paul might be a little more of a lover of the business right now, at least, than CM Punk is.
Actually, right there, like you said, with Logan Paul and everything, you know, like you said, he's not good on the mic, but at least he loves the business than CM Punk. We know what kind of person CM Punk is. as well.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I don't know how much Logan Paul is kidding and how much he's serious when he says, I really do love the business and I really do want to, I do think I found my niche. He could be lying. You know, 6 weeks from now, he could be challenging some UFC fighter or some washed-up boxer or something. Who knows what he's going to do. But Mike, if he really does want to wrestle, and I'm seeing him working out, by the way. I'm seeing him working out with Shawn Michaels and stuff in the ring, and I'm saying he's taking this very seriously. He did not come in here like a celebrity sometimes does and says, I'll do a couple of moves, make me look good, you know, no big deal. He's actually taking this seriously, so he may actually want a career in this, Mike.
He may want a career in this, and here's something. If he's taking it that seriously, then this decision to come to the WWE was more of a was less of a not going back and forth than I'm gone, you know, because he felt one, he could do it, and two, that he made the decision that he, if he's going to do this, I'm going to go whole hog and do it. I mean, look, what is he, 20, late 20s, Logan Paul?
Yep, yep.
So, I mean, he's had a meteoric rise, but being late 20s, I mean, look, you can get, if he's serious about this, you can get a good 10 years out of him if he's that serious about it.
There's no question about it. And listen, the good thing is I compare him very much to The Miz, so it's funny that the first thing he did was being with The Miz, because I think very much their careers are parallel. If he really wants to do this, remember when The Miz first came in, everybody's like, he doesn't respect the business. He's not going to amount to anything. He's a celebrity from a reality TV show, and he's just going to do X, Y, and Z, and he's going to make a monkey out of himself. And they wouldn't even let him change in the same locker room. The wrestlers wouldn't even let him change in the same locker room. Now I would argue that a guy like Andrade was a very serious worker and has made a big name for himself through, you know, internationally, brings his name up and says, you know, I work with top guys like The Miz. Wow. You know, when you say something like that, when your name is brought up by other wrestlers who are high-end wrestlers, I think you've made it. When AJ Styles says The Miz may be the best true heel in the business, I think you've made it. So I don't think there's anybody who doesn't respect The Miz now. I mean, I think they realize, okay, we were wrong. We thought he was some punk who was going to try to ride on our coattails for a little while and get himself more famous, and we were wrong. He does love the business. He did contribute to the business. He is one of the boys, and he got real, real good. I think Logan Paul can be that if he wants to be, Mike.
I think he can, too. And this is why I think, I mean, look, he's not a bad-looking guy. He presents himself well. He's one of these guys that once he gets his career going, you want him on, like, Good Morning America or Late Night with David Late Night or Tonight Show or Saturday Night Live or whatever, because he presents himself that way, you know, that he presents,
you know,
the way. It's not just, yeah.
You know, Mike, that's such a good point. That is such a good point, because that is, you're exactly right. That's what the WWE long-term is looking for. Someone who you can say, we can send him to all the, you know, big shows. We can send him to do some, you know, WWE promo work. He can be on the morning shows. He can be on the late night shows. He can go wherever and host this and do that. He's that type of guy. Like, okay, listen, can you do that with Bray Wyatt as much as I love Bray Wyatt? No, you can't. Can you really do that with Kevin Owens as much as I love Kevin Owens? No, you can't. Can you really do it with Sami Zayn? No, you can't. You're trying to do it with Roman Reigns, but, you know, there's a minimum amount. You can do it, but it's not quite the same. You hit the nail on the head. You can do that with Logan Paul. I mean, Mike, that's basically what he's done his whole career.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I mean, think about it. Look at The Miz. You know, The Miz presents himself just as well. I mean, look, I think we've all talked about AEW and what's his name, and MJF. He's the same way. Now, MJF is, what, 3 or 4 years younger than Logan Paul and at least a decade younger than The Miz, you know. But he MJF's the same way, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about it is, I'll be very honest with you. When Logan Paul was first announced to be a part of WrestleMania, I said, Jesus Christ. What are we doing? How far are we sinking now? And I was flabbergasted with how good he was. You know, we all said Bad Bunny was good. Logan Paul was a million times better. Million times better. Bad Bunny has good instincts and is reasonably athletic and obviously likes wrestling because he gets it. He understands. But Logan Paul's a cut above that athletically. Athletically, some of the things he was doing, I said, okay, well, there are guys in the dressing room right now who can't do it. And that's just a few matches in and with a little bit of training. I don't know. Like you said, he's pretty young. I don't know. If he takes this seriously, Todd, and he's only going to get better. And right now, I would say he's a cut above most of the at least celebrity wrestlers, he could be the real deal in another 2 or 3 years.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I remember The Miz when he was on the Real World television show. He was carrying a championship belt, like a toy belt, and it's like he's a wrestling fan. He's gonna love it when he got older to get in the business.
But you got to know that rubbed the wrestlers the wrong way, and they wouldn't even let him change in the dressing rooms, and they really razzed him, and they didn't think he was serious. They did not think he was serious. Now you talk to him, and you got a guy like AJ Styles who's, you know, heading for the Hall of Fame and is going to go down as one of the top wrestlers in his era for sure, saying he's the best heel in the business. I mean, I can't overstate that. That's not some fan saying that. That's AJ Styles. He's been around the world twice, three times, right? Seen every freaking heel and faced every freaking heel you can possibly think of. And for him to say, well, he's probably the best pure heel, God almighty. How far has The Miz come? From being kicked out of dressing rooms to he's the best heel in the business? Wow. And here's the scary thing. Logan Paul's a better athlete, and he's younger. Now, Ronda Rousey says, oh, well, she agrees with us, except she says you should give Logan Paul the belt right now. He's just like Mike said, she said he's the perfect person to go on these talk shows and bring cross-audience in and get big coverage and everything. Now, I disagree with that. You did not build Roman Reigns up for 3 straight years of this to lose to Logan Paul. Can't do that. And I think he's got to prove himself. Because Logan Paul, for all, just like The Miz, for all of his I love wrestling and I've really found what I want to do with my life routine, could be a con man. And he could be saying, well, this is what I'm doing right now, and I'll make myself some good money and get myself noticed, and then I'll parlay that to make my talk show better and maybe get a TV deal. He could be that guy. He could be a con man. Just a hard-working con man, but he could be one. So make him prove it. Make him prove that's what he wants to do. And if he does, just like The Miz did, if he does, then I wouldn't have a problem with giving him at least a minor championship first and seeing how it works out, Mike.
Yeah, and here's the deal. What kind of gave me the first inkling of him being totally serious is that he pulled off, remember that match? He pulled off the almost a perfect phenomenal forearm.
Yep. And a frog splash and went through the tables. Now, here's the one thing he's got to work on. If I was coaching Logan Paul, I'd say, okay, you want to work on your promos. I admire that, and that's respectable, but work on your selling. Work on your selling. You bodily sell things, but you don't facially sell things. I want to see you facially sell things. I mean, you lay there like, yeah, I just got slammed, but your face is kind of frozen. You're not expressing anything. There are people who are really like super good at that, where they express with their face, they sell with their face and their body. I prefer wrestlers like that because it just looks better. It just looks a million times better. He needs to work on that. I'm sure Shawn Michaels, listen, have you got the best coach you possibly can? I would imagine. Hard to imagine getting much better than Shawn Michaels, who clearly understands that you need the athletic ability and the charisma. See, I think that's another thing. Logan Paul has the charisma. I personally don't see it. But let's face it, a lot of people do. He's made a living off basically charisma. Is he a professional talk show host? No, but yet he has one. Is he a professional fighter? No, but he's fighting. He's wormed his way in here somehow, and he's done it by becoming a celebrity despite the fact that he kind of made himself one. You got to respect that. That has a lot in common with, like, pro wrestling, where you sort of got to get yourself over. Well, Logan Paul has the ability to get himself over. And he's so, so early in his career. Let's remember, Ronda Rousey came out of UFC where she was pretty badass. She had a pretty badass reputation. Came over here, and as far as I'm concerned, shit the bed. Okay, she had matches where she didn't have a partner or there wasn't five people at ringside distracting, so you could basically read her lines of what she needed to do, she couldn't perform. It took her a full run in WWE and then this second run before something clicked and she's become really good at what she does. It took Logan Paul one match. There are people in the business saying, I don't believe that. I don't believe that guy. This is like his second match. That's very difficult to believe. And that's not coming from me. That's coming from pro wrestlers in the business saying, dude, that's impressive for just a couple of matches and a little bit of training to pull that off. These aren't two-minute matches. These aren't gimmick matches. These are legit wrestling matches he's pulling off. So, yeah, Mike, again, might not be my personal favorite, but I think he's got a good career ahead of him if that's what he wants.
Right, and there's a difference between him and Bad Bunny. He's what, probably 40 pounds heavier than Bad Bunny? Probably?
Easily, probably more than that.
Yeah. So if you think about it, and you're right, what was one of the main things that Ronda Rousey had trouble with? Facial expressions.
Well, yeah, facial expressions and selling, yeah.
And selling, yeah. And like we've said it, I don't know what happened, but something clicked. And now she's good. She's really good at it with her facial expression and her selling, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to watch this match in Saudi Arabia very closely. And if Logan Paul puts on the type of show that he put on the last couple times, then I'm a believer that irregardless to whether I think he's annoying, and I do think he's annoying, but irregardless to what I think, then I'm a believer, man. If you're good, you're good. And maybe he can be less annoying. I don't know. Maybe he can maybe he's a purposely annoying. Maybe that was his shtick, is I'm going to be purposely annoying and people will pay to see me get knocked out or tapped out or something. Maybe, I don't know. Which means he could play a heel very well. See, that's another thing about Logan Paul. Ronda Rousey has said on many occasions, I can't even play a heel because when I try to play a heel, they cheer me. And when I try to play a face, they boo me. That's because she's not real good at understanding that subtle difference. Logan Paul, I think, is. He's got that kind of mentality. He's got a weird sort of pro wrestling mentality in the things he did before pro wrestling. kind of playing a shtick and a character anyway. And I think he gets it. I think he gets that fine line between, I do heelish things, but I'm the person they root for, or no, I really am the person they want to see get their ass kicked. So I think he could do both of those, Mike. So I'm going to keep a close eye on this Saudi Arabia match, and we'll see what comes of it.
I want to keep a close eye on it, too, and that's the thing. And like we said, he's just 26, 27 years old. He's maybe a couple of years older than MJF. And we know how good MJF can be in the future, you know. And he's just only a couple years older than MJF, you know. So you know, he's got a future. He's got probably a big future. And Triple H has to see this.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. But again, I think the key factor is, are we being played? Are we being played by a con man who's using the WWE to get a big paycheck and then move on to the next thing? I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out. Because the deal is this. If Logan Paul really wants to be a pro wrestler, then Logan Paul's got to be a pro wrestler, which means he's got to dedicate his time to being a pro wrestler. And he's got to stop all the other stuff he's doing, and he's got to show up on a regular basis on shows and start to be put into angles and start to do what he's going to do, not show up once a month or once every 6 months and say, well, you know, my day job, but I'm also a pro wrestler by night. No, you can't do that. Not at this stage of your career. You might be able to do that 10 years down the road when you're established. But if you really want to do it, just like The Miz didn't do a whole bunch of other shit. He dedicated himself to pro wrestling, and then after he was established, then he did game shows and TV shows and things, yes. Logan Paul can do the same thing. But let's see if Logan Paul is willing to say, yeah, I'll be on SmackDown or Raw every week or almost every week. Yeah, I'll go into programs with guys who aren't the champion and, you know, have real storylines written for me and things. Let's see. If he does that, Todd, then I'm saying he's the real deal.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, like The Miz, when he first did this, when he first came in, he established himself over the years, and he did both TV, movies, wrestling as well. And now he could. Now he doesn't. Now he so much established that he paid this dude on that.
Mike, you could make an argument that I think he's losing to Roman Reigns, but you could make an argument that he might not be the worst fit in NXT.
You can make an argument, and particularly if he loses close to Roman Reigns. If
right.
Roman Reigns, and it's up to Roman Reigns what he does, and Roman Reigns would probably be a professional about it and see that this guy has a future here. He wants to be here, so I'm going to make him look as good as possibly can. I'm winning the match. I'm winning the match, but I'm going to make him look as good as I possibly can.
Well, you know, you hit on another great point. That's going to be up to who's booking that match. And if Logan Paul gets in a few punches here and there, but basically gets mauled like an animal, then they don't have faith. They think he's a con man. They think he's there for the payday, and they're going to let Roman Reigns look like a world beater on Logan Paul and say, you know, all these other celebrity athletes that he fought and this, that, and the other thing, they didn't take it to him. Roman Reigns took it to him, and look what happened. Beat him like a dog. That's what the WWE will do if they don't have any faith in Logan Paul. If they've signed a big agreement with Logan Paul and they really think he's going to be one of their future superstars, watch. He's going to come so close to beating Roman Reigns. Reigns is going to make him look like $1 million. That's why I say I'm going to watch this Saudi Arabia match very carefully, because how it's booked is going to tell me what the WWE really does think of Logan Paul, whether they think he's a con man looking for a quick payday and they're just trying to get some extra views from his fame, or they've really reached some agreement with him and he's going to be a WWE superstar for the foreseeable future. The way they booked that match, Mike, that's going to tell us a lot.
And which should tell you also something, is that when he went to Triple H and said, look, I got to work on something, Triple H sends him down to work with his buddy, of Shawn Michaels, right? Well,
yeah.
He accepted that thing. He accepted it. He said, okay, I'll go work with Shawn Michaels. He's good at what he was really, really good at what he did, and I'll go work with him, and maybe he can help me out. That should tell you something. If he agreed to do, if Triple H said that and he agreed to do it, that should tell you something about Logan Paul.
Yeah, that's true. If he's down there busting his ass with Shawn Michaels, it's hard to believe he's doing it just for a quick payday. Because that doesn't sound like a quick payday. That sounds like you're busting your ass. Speaking of busting your ass, apparently The Miz has been working injured, and that could be why the Dexter Lumis match was called off, and he hadn't really seen The Miz in a lot of action lately, super action. Says he has some kind of a thing that filled with pus, and then it has to be drained, and he's having some problems. So that's probably why we didn't see a full match. Now, he says he's worked through it, and he can continue to work through it, but at some point, something's going to have to be done. So you might see The Miz off TV for a while. So maybe this angle that's happening now is a way to write him off for a short period of time while he recovers or has whatever done he needs to have done. Sounds kind of nasty. I don't know what the hell it is. But maybe that's what's happening here. If that's the case, well, then now we know. Now we know why. It's still not, in my opinion, the greatest way to do it, and the angle itself, the storyline itself, to me is eh, but at least there's a purpose if that's the case. Anyway, folks, tonight's SmackDown should be very, very interesting. I've been looking forward to this. It's a long time since I've been saying I'm looking forward to SmackDowns and even Raws lately. But I'm really looking forward to this. They've got they got a good show planned. And, of course, we're right around the corner from the Saudi Arabia show, which we'll see how that goes. Not under Vince McMahon this time. So now the question is, remember the last Saudi Arabia show was pretty good. And it did tie into all the WWE angles. The ones before that, it was like a separate universe. It was like an alternate universe, remember? Like whatever happens in Saudi Arabia has no real bearing on what's going on in the United States. I hated that. They corrected that last time. I think they corrected this time, too. And I think you'll see a really good show. Now, am I the biggest fan that is going to Saudi Arabia currently? No, I'm not. Saudi Arabia laughed in our face. Listen, we have I don't care. I don't want to get into politics, but irregardless to what you think, I'm sure you don't want to pay $5 for gasoline. And irregardless to whether it's our own fault or whatever you think, Saudi Arabia had the ability to ease that and basically said, you can go F yourself. Not only are we not going to ease it, we're going to make it worse. We're going to cut production. You say you want us to up production? We're cutting it. Suffer. That's basically what they told us. And they're being rewarded with a show. I know you have contractual obligations. I know. But at the same token, folks, you're an American company. And to be perfectly honest, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And I wish we never got involved in any of this. It's not the Saudi people. I'm really happy when I see the Saudi kids jumping up and down and the people in the audience getting such a rise out of it. And I'm like, that's good. You know, they're bringing some Western culture here and they're digging it and it's cool. And I get that. But I'm still not going to let Sami Zayn in the building. And they basically told us to go F ourselves with the gasoline. And it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, Mike. I wish we never really got involved in this.
Right. And they barely let the women, you know.
Right.
They barely let the women. I mean, we saw what happened the first time when they got all uppity about, what's her name, Carmella appearing in a body stocking. and
yep.
and dancing on screen, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they went nuts. WWE had to apologize. All it was a commercial. She wasn't even there live. Just on the Titantron advertising something. So they've come a little ways with that. Congratulations. But, you know, there's a part of me that says, well, the Saudis are letting that happen so they can turn around and say, do you see how disrespectful and brazen these American women are? We don't want to be like that. Well, you're better than that. Part of me thinks that that's what they're doing anyway. Otherwise, they wouldn't have let the women do it. I think they thought it over and said, well, if we don't let the women do it, we will never have our women see the difference. If the women do it, we can spin it to, do you see how America's women are? Do you really want to be like that? We're a little cut above that. I don't know. They're leaving a bad taste in my mouth. Saudi Arabia's leaving a bad taste in my mouth. I never was really big on it to begin with, as everybody knows. But at the end of the day, you know, I understand contracts. I understand it all. What ended for me was when they delayed that plane. Four shows ago, three shows ago. When they delayed that plane and purposely lied and said, well, the pilot, we can't get the that was a lie. And everybody with a connected brain cell knows that was a lie. That was basically them saying, hey, you screwed us over and you want us to pay you this or that. The other thing, Vince McMahon, we're holding your guys here. We're going to make you sweat. Luke Harper knew it. A couple other people knew it. Apparently AJ Styles didn't know it. He said, oh, no, there was a real problem with the pilot. Please, AJ, open your eyes. They were sending a clear message. We don't want to release your people. We don't have to, which, by the way, they were totally wrong because at that time we had a different president, and if they didn't release those people, there would have been trouble, major trouble. Put it this way, they'd have released them. But they never intended to keep them anyway. They just wanted to send you a little bit of a message that, you don't mess with us. Fine, then we don't mess with you. We don't do any more shows with you either. So I hope that when they finish up this agreement with Saudi Arabia, maybe they'll reconsider. I'm not a big fan of it, Mike, and I think maybe it's time to just wrap that up.
You know, I don't know how much power Triple H has to say, you know, we're not going to say we're going to pull out of this deal right now and give up all that money, whatever. I don't know how many years he has left on. They have left on that deal, and I can't remember whether or not this deal happened before or after Nick Khan came in.
I think it was before, but they're going to have to finish the deal. I mean, I'm not for abandoning a contract unless they did something heinous, really heinous. But I wouldn't sign another one. That's just me. Anyway, folks, enjoy SmackDown. Thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Sunday.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.